This is the Happy Station, broadcasting to North and South America on 9,955 kilohertz from 1 to 155 UTC and from 15 to 1555 UTC.
This is station PCJ of Philips Radio, broadcasting on 31 meters, our weekly Friday program, which only lasts for 60 minutes.
Estación de la Alegría, The Happy Station Show. Hello everyone, hello everywhere. Welcome again to another edition of The Happy Station Show. Keith Powell with you for the next 55 minutes. And today's show is going to be a lot of fun. Now, today, for our transmission at 100 UTC, I said we're going to be doing some storytelling. I should have been more precise with that. I should have said that we're going to be doing storytelling in a very dramatic way. Now, what does all that mean? Well, stay tuned and find out. We have something very unusual coming up concerning that. Also on today's show, pay attention for the coded message so you can enter the draw for the wonderful prizes, which I'll run down later on, that we're going to be giving away for our final show for the year, and much, much more. We're also going to get to some birthday greetings and some of the letters that have been coming into us, as well as some questions as well. But first, let's kick off with one of Germany's most popular big bands. It's Max Greger and his orchestra with Power to All Your Friends on the Happy Station. Thank you. Max Greger and his orchestra with Power to All Your Friends here for the show of September the 17th, 2009. And it's been a very unusual past few days. We're now at the time of year, you may have heard me mention before, where it's typhoon season, which is usually from the beginning of June or the middle of June until the end of October. And currently at the moment, there are two tropical depressions in the region. One of them is just off the coast of the Philippines, and the other one is making its way towards Japan. So right now here in Taiwan, we're kind of, you know, we're getting the pressure from both sides, which is a bit uncomfortable, you know. Speaking of uncomfortable things, somebody asked me the question here. When I was in Holland, did I ever skate on the Zuider Zee? Or the Zuider Zee. I have no idea, but they mentioned here, do you ice skate in Taiwan? Well, no, I never ice skated on the Zuider Zee in Holland. And no, there is no ice skating here in Taiwan. And this is from, actually, the person didn't even put their name, but it's from some very strange email address, but they didn't put their name on it, so I don't even know if it's for the show or what. But I thought it was very unusual, so I thought I'd mention it. Anyway, let's kick off now with a little bit more music. When we come back, we're going to have a little drama. Yes, very dramatic moment. Something so dramatic. It's like, you know, how would I put it? Let me put it this way. Desperate Housewives, General Hospital, for those who are familiar with the shows, step aside. We have something much more interesting. But first, here's Sammy Davis Jr. and The Candyman.
Candyman. All right, everybody, gather around. The Candyman is here. Now, what kind of candy you want? Sweet chocolate, chocolate malt, candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the Candyman.
Who can take a sunrise? Sprinkle it with you. Cover it with chocolate and a miracle to the Candyman.
The Candyman.
Ooh, the Candyman can.
The Candyman can.
The Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. Candyman,
the Candyman,
the Candyman can,
the Candyman can,
the Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good,
makes the world taste good.
Collect up all the cream. The
candy man. Oh, the candy man can.
The candy man can,
cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
The candy man can.
The candy man can. The candy man can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Yes, the candy man can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Sammy Davis Jr. and the Candyman here on The Happy Station. Now, just before we took a listen to that, I said we're going to have a dramatic moment. You know, it's not about Desperate Housewives. Trust me, this is much better than Desperate Housewives. Is it, I can hear some of you thinking, well, is it a melodrama like one of those afternoon soap operas that airs on American television like One Life to Live or General Hospital or All My Children? No, that is nothing in comparison. Is it a rerun of Dallas? No, nowhere near it. What about Dynasty? No, no, Joan Collins or Alexis Karen is Karen or whatever her name was on the show is not standing in the wings. No, instead, it's IKEA. Yes, and I can hear some sighs of people and snickers, people going, IKEA? What is this guy talking about? Well, believe it or not, there is a dramatic series which is airing on the internet called IKEA Heights. And to find out what it's about, let's take a little listen to it right now.
Candy, I had that nightmare again.
The one where I poison you?
No, the one about my brother.
Oh, James. He's passed. There's no point in digging up old ghosts.
What good are ghosts if they don't haunt you?
Maybe you should go to work.
Yes, my dear. And you'll be keeping busy today?
I'm sure I'll find something to entertain me. After all, this is IKEA Heights.
I'll never get over the sunsets here in IKEA Heights.
Tom, why is the water not working? Did you forget to pay again?
I couldn't pay it.
But?
But nothing. Ever since the law firm fired me and our stocks tumbled, we're broke. I've made some mistakes with some very dangerous people. We might be in trouble.
I can't even look at you.
I wish you didn't care so much about money.
And that was a small sampling of IKEA Heights. And by the way, if you're wondering if it's IKEA as in the chain of stores that are around the world, well, you're right. It's an IKEA drama. Now, the funny thing is this melodrama is not put together by IKEA. In fact, where the episode that we took a listen to was shot, which was in California, IKEA had no idea that this was going on. It was being shot, well, basically without them knowing. And you're probably wondering right now, this is very strange. Well, of course it is very strange. And this is a very strange show. So, of course, we have to contact the creator and director, whose name is David Seeger. Well, I had a chance to speak to him about this wonderfully entertaining dramatic series called IKEA Heights. David, you know, I've been watching the series IKEA Heights. Before we get into what the series is about, I do have to ask you, what kind of mind do you have to come up with this kind of idea?
I guess it comes from the mentality of always looking at what's around you and how you can turn it into something interesting in terms of a short. I love no-budget production. I love shooting shooting places where I come from the idea that you look around at the things you have and then you build a story based on that. Like if I had access to a tractor for a weekend, I would figure out how to make a movie about a tractor and I'd write a story about a tractor instead of the other way around where you write this grandiose story and then need to find a helicopter and explosions and all this other stuff. So to answer your question short, the kind of mind I have to be in is a mind that's always looking at everything in a way to utilize it for a short. So when you're in IKEA looking at these displays, you look at it as a way to be sent.
So was it one of those things, you were walking in an IKEA store, and then all of a sudden you said to your friends, wait a minute, I have an idea. Let's do a melodrama about IKEA. What was their initial reaction? Did they just kind of look at you in a very odd way going, oh, we think you've been in the sun too long?
My friends mostly liked it because I surround myself with people who have similar mentality, and they were just as excited about the idea as I was and just as interested in the experiment of seeing how it could work out.
So how does it work out? I mean, what did you do to begin with? Did you just come up with a plot and the rest is just sort of making it up as you went along? Or did you actually spend a lot of time researching it and trying to figure out how to do it?
No, we picked a weekend that we were going to shoot. We picked a day that we were going to try to shoot it. And we walked through the store. We looked at all the sets that were available us in this specific store, and we wrote our story based on wanting to make it be a soap opera and wanting to utilize all these jokes, this faucet joke, use Babbitt's photography, and it was a matter of just building the creative around what we had access to.
Now, something that I found very interesting about it was kind of done very clandestine, because you shot it in an IKEA location in California, but they didn't have any idea this was going on.
Correct. Yeah, they had no idea what was going on. I mean, I'm sure some employees, were kind of hip to what was going on. I don't think anyone who works at IKEA is stupid. I think they're all very, they're just trying to do their job. So if they see a couple people in the corner goofing around with a camera, they just assume it's just that, some friends playing around. They don't realize that we're making this big story and doing this greater thing.
They probably were thinking, wait a second, these people are probably decorating their home and they want to, photograph the furniture to get an idea of maybe how it'll look in their new home.
Exactly. Yeah, there's definitely that thought that it's expected for someone to be shooting a storyline in the IKEA. So yeah, somebody would look at it and think, oh, are they just photographing these things for the purposes of using in their homes?
So this is like you and a bunch of friends that are doing this. When you came up with the first script, after you looked at the IKEA location, what were you trying to achieve? I mean, was it trying to do something? I mean, it's very satirical. Was that the main purpose?
The main purpose was we wanted to do a soap opera. We wanted it to be melodramatic because what's the silliest thing actors can do playing out a story in IKEA is be overly dramatic about it. It was just the thought of trying to execute this experiment. Let's see if we can pull it off. Let's try and see what it looks like.
One of the episodes that I remember clearly was the episode began with this couple. They were lying in bed. And then it was, the dramatic music and everything. And I tell you this, it was just like watching a daytime afternoon American soap opera. It was rather amusing. And it makes me wonder if the producers at General Hospital and these other soap operas are wondering, wait a second, are they making fun of us?
I'm sure that's the impression that someone who works on a soap opera would get if they watched the show, yeah. That we're making a goof based off of their style.
So what has been the reaction from IKEA, or has there been any reaction? Did they call you up and say, look, we'd rather you don't do this?
I have not IKEA has not contacted me in any way. As far as I know, IKEA has not contacted the sites where I host the videos. I've never been contacted by IKEA.
Do you think they're probably thinking, wait a second, this is like free advertising for us?
It's possible. It's possible that that's what they're thinking. It's possible that, you know, we're just a blip on their radar. It's not significant enough to cause a reaction to, or who knows, maybe they're developing some greater plan of action. I'm not sure.
Now, IKEA Heights is seen on the, of course, the internet. What has been the reaction?
Recently it got tipped off by a blogger on Laughing Squid, somehow stumbled across it, and he posted it, and then it did what sometimes happens with web videos and what will happen with a web video if you're lucky, because it is all luck. It went what everyone's calling viral these days, and it was on one bigger blog. Then it got seen on another bigger blog, and then it jumped to a bunch of other blogs, and then it jumped to actual news, credible news media. So that's what's happening now, and people seem to be enjoying it. The comments I've seen have been positive reactions, some skeptical. Some people have posted blogs saying that we're an IKEA marketing ploy and accusing us of being employees of IKEA, and just various reactions, all the reactions you could imagine when, 60,000 people have seen your thing.
Now, initially when you started this, was it just to do a one-time thing, or did you actually have in mind to do it as a continuing thing?
Well, IKEA Heights was made for a festival in L.A. that's called Channel 101. It's been around for 40 years now, and it is something where if the audience votes you back, you make another episode. So the first episode was always made with the intention of hopefully the audience will vote us back and we'll get to make another episode, and that's what each episode has been. Is they always premiere right at Channel 101.
So, for example, like right now, if I was in Burbank in the IKEA location and you guys were filming, what would I see? I mean, would it be a very small setup? I mean, would it be the kind of thing if I walked by, I really wouldn't pay attention? Because when I was watching some of the episodes, there were like shoppers just walking by, and I don't think they had an idea of what was going on.
Well,
it's funny.
It's a loud store. It's a loud place. So we have wireless mics on our actors so that we can hear them. When you're watching it, you can hear them. But even when I'm standing 6 feet away from the actors, I can't hear what they're saying. So, no, a lot of actors, a lot of customers just walk by and have no idea what's going on. A lot of customers stumble too close and realize we're doing something, but, they're looking to buy a bed or a couch or something, so they might go about their way.
Has it ever happened so far that, just an ordinary customer kind of like walks into shot and is all of a sudden part of the plot?
It's never been as a part of the plot, not for a customer. We have let employees become part of the plot by following an actor asking employees where something is. So we have included the employees into the plot. We have not yet included any customers unwittingly into the plot.
It is just so unusual. I mean, I could just think, there's so many things that you can write a melodrama around. And honestly, IKEA would not be one that came to mind. It's just so strange. And I mean strange in a very good way. It is extremely entertaining, and it makes me wonder sometimes what the big TV networks are thinking, because they seem to rehash the same kind of plots and story locations over and over. And to see something as refreshing as this come along, it is actually quite nice, I have to say.
Oh well, thank you. That means a lot. I always set out to make videos with the hope that someone will get as much joy out of it as I do making it. So that's really cool that you'd say that and that you like it that much.
So what would happen then, for example, if, let's say, the producers of like Desperate Housewives contacted you and said, look, we like this, we want you to do a pilot?
I would say what I always say whenever anyone comes to me with any sort of work, which is, yes, okay, but then I would be nervous as can be to actually be able to translate this sort of thing into that sort of thing.
David Seeger, thank you very much for joining us on the Happy Station today. We'll give out the URL later on in the program. Before we end off, can you give us maybe a little insight of what some of the upcoming plots may be?
Okay.
Or is that, are you going to keep that under your hat?
I will say that there will be another episode. I'll say that much. And I will say that you're catching me just after having shot scenes for the new episode. And I will say that I'm very excited by it, and it made me laugh really hard. So hopefully everyone else enjoys it.
David, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And I was speaking there with David Seeger, the creator and director of IKEA Heights. They have a website, which is www.ikeaheights.com. That's www.ikeaheights.com. And you can catch all the episodes there. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the International Happy Station for our transmission to North America and the Caribbean on 9955 kilohertz in the 31 meter band. Staying on television, we'll take a listen now to some television music. And then when we come back, we'll say hello to some people that signed up to our Facebook page. Some letters, and of course, birthday greetings. Now, we're going to take a listen to the signature tune that was used for a very popular British television series that was done in the late 60s that aired on ITV in the United Kingdom and on CBS in the United States. It was The Prisoner, rather, it is The Prisoner, that was created by Patrick McGoohan, who passed away on January 13th of this year. We're now taking a listen to the theme song by Ron Grainer and his orchestra. The theme song to the British cult television series The Prisoner here on The Happy Station. And there was our coded message. Like I said, last week it'll appear at any time on the show. So, if you heard that message, let me know what time you heard it. And like I said, because it's Morse code, it's not important that you decipher what that message is. But send me an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. Let me know what you heard just before the Morse code message to be entered into the lucky draw, which we'll be announcing at the end of the year with some wonderful prizes, which are, number one, a Sanjen ATS-909 shortwave radio, a Sanjen ATS-606A shortwave radio, which is the first and second prize. The third prize are the three books from Jerry Berg about international shortwave broadcasting. The fourth prize is a one-year membership to the magazine Communication from the BDXC, that's the British DX Club. And the fifth prize is for 10 lucky winners who will be receiving one copy each of Tom Meyer's CD, Easy Come, Easy Go, made up of a collection of songs that Tom recorded for The Happy Station between 1970 and 1992. All right. Well, next I want to say hello to some of the people that signed up to the Happy Station Facebook page. Dennis DeMarco, Skip Array, Chris Dawson, Sean Garrity, I think I'm mispronouncing that, Stephen Turnencleff, and Afu Lin, who listens to us in Taiwan. And if you want to join up to the Happy Station Facebook page, please do. Just do a search for The Happy Station Show. If you're on Facebook, click on Join the Group, and that's all you need to do. Let's now go to this week's birthday greetings.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
And for those celebrating a birthday for the week of September 13th, 2009, a special happy birthday goes to Greg Kane, Sandra Connor, Dave McDonald, and Yolanda Javier de Lara. So, happy birthday to you and all those celebrating a birthday this week. And if you want to be entered into the Happy Station birthday book, just also send me an email at pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. Let's now have a little bit more music. When we come back, we'll dip into this week's mailbag, which hasn't arrived yet, but we'll get to it shortly. Let's take a listen now to Luis Herberto de Panama y Los Paraguayos with a track called Volare, which actually is an Italian song, but here they are singing it in Spanish.
Esta es la historia de un sueño que me hizo feliz. Porque al soñarlo sentía muy dentro de mí. Era un sendero pintado de azul en el cielo. Por el que yo poco a poco me alzaba del suelo. Volaba, oh, cantaba, por un sendero de azul. Feliz, entre nubes de tul, yo volaba, volaba hacia el sol y al pasar un gran ramo de estrella cogí, mientras iba quedando allá abajo este mundo infeliz. Y una música dulce sonaba tan solo por mí. Sendero de azul, feliz, entre nubes de tul. Volaba, volaba hacia el sol y al pasar un gran ramo de estrella cogí, mientras iba quedando allá abajo este mundo infeliz. Y una música dulce sonaba tan solo por mí.
Luis Alberto del Panamá y los Paraguayos with Volare, sung in Spanish, here on The Happy Station. All right, now time to go to this week's mail call. I'm surprised that our mail call horse is actually delivering it, considering how humid it is right now, but he's doing a good job nevertheless. First, actually, just to verify some reception reports and letters that have come in from a few people. Kathy McHugh in California, Pete Anderson in the United Kingdom, Vladimir Cruz in Havana, Cuba, and Jessica Lewis in Vermont, USA. And we have one here from David Hamilton from North Carolina. And he mentioned something which I thought was very interesting because he said that he heard that Happy Station is going to have another airing to North America. Well, I have to clear that up for you. What it is our relay site, Radio Miami International, is going to be doing some tests for listeners on the West Coast. So if you are listening on the West Coast, that is, David, not where you are on the East Coast, but maybe you might be able to pick it up. This show, the one that you're listening to right now, will air this Friday between 7 and 8 hours UTC. That's between 7 and 8 hours UTC this Friday. So, David, even though this is not your part of the world or your part of the United States, you may be able to pick it up. So if you are up, and that's, I think, very, very early in the morning for you, extremely early in the morning, let me know, and I'll pass it on to Jeff White at WRMI. Vladimir Cruz here in Havana, Cuba, asked me the question because he said He had heard that I worked at Radio Havana Cuba for 3 years in the 1990s, and he wants to know, what part of Havana did I live in? Well, I used to live in Vedado, which was not far from the studios of Radio Havana Cuba on Infanta Street. And I used to live in a building called the FOCSA building, that's F-O-C-S-A, which is in Vedado, which is, I believe, even now, the largest apartment complex in the Caribbean. I used to live on the 25th floor, and my view from my balcony was probably, well, it was like the, you know, the kind of view where I'd say, eat your heart out to people, because it was an absolutely extraordinary view. I could see the National Hotel, the Capri Hotel. I can see the Maracon seaside wall. I can see the fort in Old Havana on one side. And it was an absolutely amazing view. It was one of the probably, I think, the best places to see the sunset. And for those who are not familiar with the building, it was built back in the 1950s when the Americans were in Cuba. And it's very, how would I describe it? Very 1950s, large apartment building architecture. It was quite nice. I used to live on the 25th floor. But, you know, Vladimir, as you know as well as I do, sometimes things in Cuba don't work that well. We had 5 elevators in the building. Only 3 were working. And sometimes none were working, which meant I had to walk up from the ground floor all the way to the 25th floor in total darkness because people would steal the light bulbs in the staircase. Oh, you know, that's one of the things you do. And, you know, the other thing I remember was the water supply. And I'll still remember it even now, and I think I'll remember it in 20 years from now. We had water every day for 4 hours. First in the mornings between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the morning, and then another 2 hours of water between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And there were days that sometimes the water wouldn't come on at all, which meant I had to go into a room that was beside my kitchen, turn on a valve with a small pump to take water from a reserve tank that I had so I can cook and take a shower and do the dishes. And, you know, it's funny because I had friends of mine that said to me, and other listeners as well, they've asked me, they said, you know, you lived in Cuba, they've heard about the hardships there because of the economy, how did you deal with it? And it's the kind of thing, you know what, after a while, you just kind of figure it out. You know, you just kind of run your life around when you have water. And I think Vladimir can identify with that. He knows what I mean. Yeah, anyway, if you want to send in your reception report via snail mail, the address is Happy Station, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Section 1, San Min Road, Banqiao, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC 22070. And if you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry, I'll be giving out that later on in the show. But now, here's our good friend, Colin Newell.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
Again, the website for DXers.ca is just that, DXers.ca. Now time for more music. We'll take a listen to something a little unusual. Well, everything unusual about this show and myself is unusual, whatever that means. We'll take a listen now to Sophia Loren singing with, well, the one and only Peter Sellers and Fare Thee Well.
I was wrong too. Wait around so long to be the one you sang love's sweet old-fashioned song to. For I find you've lost your spell. Fare thee well, little Jezebel, fare thee well.
How I pine, dear, for the smallest sign, dear. Just to hear you say that, come what may, your mind, dear. But it took too long to tell.
Fare thee well, little Jezebel, fare thee well.
I stood your highs, your lows, your yeses and your noes, but you could never make your mind up.
And now, at last, those nervous days have passed, and this you will observe is the wind-up.
What elation, no more hesitation, I've a mind inclined to celebration.
Au revoir, chère mademoiselle. Fare thee well, little Jezebel.
It's been swell, little Jezebel.
What the hell, little Jezebel?
Bury, as they say, the hatchet. Let's repair this on and off affair, and where it seems threadbare,
let's patch it.
What elation, no more hesitation, I've a mind inclined to celebration, and will
never say, ever say, fare thee well again.
Sophia Loren and Peter Sellers with Fare Thee Well, featuring the Ron Goodwin Orchestra. Now, we still have a little time before we end off, so let's squeeze in one more piece of music. From the former East Germany, here's Manfred Krug singing the great jazz standard, Rosetta.
Rosetta, my Rosetta. Somebody new. You made my whole life a dream, and I pray you make it come true. Oh, Rosetta, my Rosetta, please say I'm the one, dear, just for you. Just for you.
Rosetta by East German singer Manfred Krug. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the show. Before we end off, I want to remind you of a special show that we have coming up next week for September the 24th. That is Bob Toman's birthday. And Bob Toman will be 81 years old. Now, for those who don't know Bob Toman, Bob created the Swiss merry-go-round way back in the 1950s and hosted the show until 1994. In 1970, Bob Zanotti joined him, and the show was, well, the show kind of had two names. It was the Swiss Merry-Go-Round, and some other people called it the Two Bobs Show. Well, next week on the show, we're going to take a listen to some classic recordings of the original Swiss Merry-Go-Round from the 1960s, before Bob Zanotti joined Bob Toman. And Bob Zanotti is going to bring us an interview with Bob. So join us next week for the 81st birthday of Bob Toman here on the Happy Station Show. And this program will be airing for all regions. So if you missed the edition at 1500 UTC, you can catch it at another time when the show is being broadcast. Okay, one more time before we go. If you want to send in your reception reports by snail mail and have a chance to enter the lucky draw that we're going to have at the end of the year, you heard the coded message, hopefully, on today's show. Just send the time that you heard it to the following address: Happy Station Show, 8th floor, number 47, Lane, L-A-N-E, 31, Section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N, 1, Banqiao, that's B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC 22070. And you can also send me an email to enter the lucky draw at the following email address, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And of course, if you're on Facebook, just do a search for the Happy Station and you can contact me that way as well. Let's see. That's all we have time for. Yes. Time really flew by this week, and we kind of had things in different areas of the show, which, well, we can do that. That's okay. Anyway, that's all we have time for. Join us for our happy birthday special for Bob Toman next week, which will be on the air, like I said, for all regions. So on behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, and our production assistant, Johan Backer, who has been very busy sending out the QSL reception cards, this is Keith Perron, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
This is the Happy Station.
That's what happiness is. Happiness is. Different things to different people. That's what happiness is.
Happiness is the Happy Station, bringing you some weekly peace, cheer, and joy. Remember that? Hello, I'm Keith Perron, and I hope that you will join me Thursdays at 1 and 15 hours UTC for the Happy Station and La Estación de la Alegría, right here via Radio Miami International.
Happiness is. Different things to different people, that's what happiness is.